Hi, today is August 18th, 2013, and this is Mobile Views Podcast 64. Today, my good friends Jay Stone and Emil Reyes are going to talk about some of our favorite mobile games. And we've all got a couple of different list of things, and I think Emil's is kind of unique, but we'll get to that a little later. I wanted to do a podcast about mobile games today because one of my favorite games just got its sequel release, and that's Plants vs. Zombies 2. The original Plants vs. Zombies for iOS came out, I think, when the original iPad was released way back in the spring of 2010. So it's been literally years in the making, and there's a couple of unique aspects to Plants vs. Zombies 2. One is that it's free, unlike its predecessor, which I think was $7.99 was released, although I believe its price was reduced down to about $1.99 or $2.99, at least for the iPad version.
Yeah, I got it when it was cheap.
Later on, yeah. So, yeah. But yeah, and it was a great deal at $7.99 in my opinion, because it's one of my all time favorite games on iOS, iPhone or iPad. And the other aspect of it is because it's freemium, you know, there is a fee model for after you install it, and you got to buy some plants. So some of the things like the flaming chili pepper, which used to be obtainable just as you gain levels, you know, it varies from I think like $1.99 to maybe or 99 cents to $2.99. So it can get pretty expensive if you buy a bunch of plants. There are bundles that, you know, I assume reduces the total cost of buying a bunch of plants. But I'm really not sure whether or not I'll need to buy some of those. I mean, I used to use the flaming chili pepper all the time for, you know, boss levels when you're trying to get rid of some of those really nasty zombies, the big, huge ones.
Oh, is that the one that makes a fire go across the whole path?
The whole row, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. That's a real handy one for the boss level.
It's good for that the Zamboni.
Yeah, exactly.
The Zamboni?
Yes. The Zamboni and the big giant zombie with a little mini zombie on his back.
Yeah.
Yeah, those guys are mean. If you look in the comments on the iTunes page for Plants vs. Zombies 2, there are a couple of irate people who are angry at having to pay more than a couple of bucks if you buy all the plants, you know, that you want. On the other hand, it looks like the vast majority of people are really pleased with Plants vs. Zombies 2. And like I said, I really don't know if I need to buy those plants once I get to the boss levels because I haven't played it enough to find out. But I've gone through about, about eight or nine of the boards in the first level, which is the time travel back to Egypt level, and I haven't felt the need to buy anything. Have you guys tried Plants vs. Zombies 2 yet?
I've never played Plants vs. Zombies.
Oh, okay. Well, you really missed out.
It's a fun game.
And what about
when I got the first one? I played it continuously until my iPad like ran out of power. I got addicted to it, and that takes a long time.
Yeah,
that's a long time. Hey, I haven't played it. I downloaded it though.
Yeah, Emil, this one's free. Plants vs. Zombies 2 is free. I'm not sure what happened to the regular Plants vs. Zombies. But Plants vs. Zombies 2 is free, so there's no barrier to give it a try on your iPad or iPhone. And I should note that there is no version for Android yet, which is a little bit disappointing for Android users, I'm sure, of which I am one, I should note. You know, I use both platforms. So at any rate, gameplay is a bit different. I mean, you know, what you know from Plants vs. Zombies, the original, helps you out.
Is there a Windows 8
version? No, it's only iOS.
Okay.
As far as I know, it's only iOS. And it looks good. It looks good, but the zombies and the plants look, and I know this is difficult to fathom, but they look slightly more cartoony than the original, with the understanding that the originals
more
are cartoons. I know it's hard to explain, but things look rounder, kind of younger, if you know what I mean. Less, not that the original one was angular, but if you open it up, you'll see what I mean. Things look.
I'm looking at a picture of it.
Yeah,
I can't tell from the picture.
Yeah, once you open it up, in the tutorial level where things look a lot more familiar, with the opening, you know, grass lanes and things before you get thrown back into time into ancient Egypt, you'll start noticing differences. It's noticeable but not jarring, I think, and it certainly doesn't affect gameplay. I certainly enjoyed playing the playing with Plants vs. Zombies 2. In any case, so, Jay, in your list was the original Plants vs. Zombies, which is also among my, I would have to say, at least my top two or three games for iOS and Android, or mobile devices in general. The other of my favorite games, I think, is Civilization Revolution, which, although it doesn't have Sid Meier's name on it, is definitely descended from Sid Meier's Civilization game. And, of course, Angry Birds. So, what have you got on your list?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, let me go back to our Evernote. I got my first one was Candy Crush.
Yeah, tell me about that. I see people, you know, talking about playing, but I've never played that one.
My older daughter started playing it. She claims before everyone else at school did. She was playing it, and then my younger daughter got into it, and I said, what is this? So I downloaded it to my phone and my iPad, and I tried it out, and I got addicted to that one, too. It's basically, it's like one of those games where you combine like things, and then it's like Bejeweled, but it's with candy.
Got it.
And a thing about it, though, is it's they have a lot of power-ups that are kind of neat, and then they have all these different challenges that you have to do. The more you do it, the higher levels you go, the more difficult it gets, and it just gets really interesting. Like, the candies are in Jell-O or jelly, and so to get rid of the candy, you have to, like, eliminate the jelly first and then eliminate the candy. And then there's a level where the candy is, like, in a cage, and so you have to break the cage, then break the jelly, and then you can get rid of the candy.
So is Candy Crush a free game or a freemium game or a paid game?
I think it's a free game. Emily, is Candy Crush free?
Yes.
Yeah, it's free.
But, really? How do they make money? Is it all ads?
There are ads, but not that many. The way they do it is, after a certain level, if you want to advance, you can pay or you can do a quest. And the quest takes at least like 3 or 4 days, because you only do one quest at a time. Then you got to wait 24 hours or something before you can do the next quest. So if you're impatient, right, and you want to just keep on playing, you got to pay like $1 to skip through the quests. And you can buy power-ups. So like you can earn power-ups, but you can't earn all of them.
Ah, so it's a freemium game. Got it.
Right. But if you're just tenacious and... You can get to every level eventually without buying anything. Well, so far, my daughters are way ahead because they play it like all the time. The only thing about it is I can't play it on my iPad 1.
Well, that's not too surprising, I guess. I think like the original iPhone, iPhone 3G maybe, which is a little bit older than iPad, the original iPad, some things just don't run on those things anymore.
Yeah,
It'll start, and I might be able to get through like a couple minutes, and it'll crash. It'll keep on crashing. But Candy Crush is, if you like those kind of games where you combine like things together, and then they, you know, you make them disappear. It's like a puzzle game. You really enjoy it. It's much, in my mind, is way better than Bejeweled.
Really?
Well, I like it way better than Bejeweled.
It's certainly.
Any version of Bejeweled I've ever tried.
It's certainly topped the charts enough to, you know, pass Bejeweled, so that certainly makes sense.
You know, it was in Psy's latest video. You know Psy, Gangnam Style?
Sure.
You know, his follow-up song this summer was Gentleman?
Right.
And he's playing it in the video.
Really?
Yeah, that's how big this game is. It's like everywhere. Even Psy's playing it.
That is pretty funny. Okay, so next on your list, I believe, was the original Plants vs. Zombies.
Yeah, and I only put it on there because I started playing it again.
It's addictive, isn't it?
Because I hadn't played it in years, and I started playing it, and I went, how did I win against these zombies? And I went, wow, this is a really fun game. But I guess, you know, the first time I played it, I was so addicted to it. I just played it continuously, like every day. And then I guess I finished it or something. I went through all the levels, and it was just the mini games and stuff. And so I got bored with it. So I it just took up too much space on my device. So I just got rid of it. And then recently I was like, Well, I use my daughter's iPod Touch to play because she bought her own, like, I think she has a fourth generation 64 gig.
Right.
Which she saved her money and she bought on her own.
Mm.
So when she's not using it, I'll actually play games on it because I can actually play almost all the games that are out there. It's not like my iPad. I can't play certain stuff. And it's a little faster. And she has, like, because it has 64 gigs, she has just hundreds of games. she uses the iPod Touch as a mobile game player, basically. And so she has an iPhone, but she plays a lot of, when she wants to just play games, she'll just play with her iPod Touch.
Because it has more RAM, or more memory, I should say.
Oh, yeah. Because every single game she would ever conceivably want to have is on that iPod Touch. And she still has half the memory still left. I mean, she has hundreds of games. I don't even know how she finds all of these. She's always asking me to, because I don't let her get stuff on her own. She has to ask me first.
Mm-hmm.
She can't just go into iTunes and get it because I don't give her the password. And then my older daughter, she has to tell me what she gets.
Mm.
She doesn't ask first, but she has to tell me what she gets. But if she has to pay for it, she has to tell me before she buys it.
That makes sense.
That way I'll know it's on our account. So yeah. we just have those family rules.
Yeah. So, by the way, I just checked, and Plants vs. Zombies HD, which is the original version of Plants vs. Zombies for the iPad, is 99 cents now.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cheap. That's such a deal.
It's a great game.
It's a lot of fun. It's a tower game.
And it still has in-app purchases, by the way, ranging from 99 cents to $3.99. I've never bought any of those things, so I think some of them are like coins. I'm not sure what the other things are. Digger's Diamond. No idea what those are. So that do it in app, but I never bought anything in it.
I never have.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And Emil. So basically, Plants vs. Zombies, as Jay mentioned just a minute ago, is a tower defense game.
Yeah.
And it's.
I've seen my friends play it a lot.
Oh yeah, it's definitely one of my favorites. Okay, so the next thing on Jay's list, the next but last but not least, as people say, is Angry Birds Star Wars. Okay. I think I agree with you, Jay. I think what you're saying is Angry Birds Star Wars is better than the original Angry Birds, which was pretty awesome.
Oh, it's better than any version, in my mind. It's the best version they ever made. It was when my wife's gone further on that one than I have. So she's really far ahead of me. But it's like the way they incorporated a lot of the Star Wars themes into Angry Birds, they really designed it very well. They gave it a lot of thought, and the powers they give to the different birds, it's just amazing. It's so much fun.
Yeah, I have to say I was really impressed with it, especially because I was totally unimpressed with Angry Birds Seasons, mm-hmm. which was kind of a freemium game, if I recall correctly. And I bought Angry Birds. Wait, was Angry Birds Rio free or I can't remember? But Angry Birds Rio was okay, but I really didn't like it as much as the original Angry Birds.
Rio, that's the one with the bird.
That's the movie tie-in.
The movie, yeah.
Right. The other animated birds. But like you, I really liked Angry Birds Star Wars, but I will say this. I was kind of obsessive with Angry Birds and I finished all the levels and all of that stuff. With
Angry Birds, the Daggable one?
Yeah, I believe so.
Wow.
With Angry Birds Star Wars, although I enjoy it a lot, and like you, I really appreciate the way that the Star Wars themes were integrated into the gameplay and the look and feel, I never felt compelled to finish the game.
I don't feel compelled to finish most games.
Yeah.
Actually, I didn't even know that.
Except Plants vs. Zombies.
Well, I didn't know Plants vs. Zombies ended. I thought it would just keep on going and get more and more levels and everything. I didn't know it ended.
Yeah, most mobile games, I don't feel a responsibility to end.
Like versus console games.
Yeah.
And I think the difference there is because the console games tend to have a story, right? And you want to see an end of the story.
And you pay a lot more money for them.
Well, that too. 50 or 60 bucks. Yeah, and you know, but that said, Angry Birds Star Wars is a very good game. Still don't feel the need to really finish it. Like, I really wanted to see the end game for Plants vs. Zombies, because I wanted to see that ending theme song that I had seen on YouTube, you know, the hard way, so to speak.
Oh.
And it's always fun. And you know, and the other thing about the original, and I really haven't thought about the Plants vs. Zombies too. I really like the music in Plants vs. Zombies, the original.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's Lauren Shigihara.
Yeah, fun music. I really enjoyed listening to that, the music while I play the game.
She scores video games.
Yeah.
She's a video game, I don't know, what do you call those people? Composer. Video game music composer.
Yeah. Yeah, and a good one, because most of the times I either ignore the music or I even turn it off because it's so annoying sometimes. But I really do enjoy listening to the music in Plants vs. Zombies.
And she's bilingual.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, she speaks Japanese and English fluently. And so she has a Japanese language version of the theme song.
Oh, I think I've seen that on YouTube.
Yeah, it's funny. And I think her boyfriend at the time was one of the game developers in Plants vs. Zombies.
Neat. Okay, and Emil. Okay, so Emil's got an interesting list because it's kind of retro. So, Emil, tell us what you've been looking at on iOS. You something about ported games?
Yeah, I've been toying with and playing with a lot of the old games. It's sort of, like you said, retro to me and sort of old school. A lot of games I used to play on console and PC that are being moved over to the iOS. I think the first one I got that... I had a great time playing a long time ago was Baldur's Gate. It's an old Dungeons & Dragons role-playing game, and it was the granddaddy of them all for PC that first really worked well. And it's now on iOS, so they have some multiplayer on it or something, and it's a very good port. And it's got all the original gameplay, but enhanced for touch. And then... It came out a while ago, even before Baldur's Gate. But Grand Theft Auto 3, that was always a great console game, and they have it working on the iOS. I think it feels a little funny on the operating system, but the fact that they got such an intense game on a mobile platform, it impresses me. But then the one I have been playing again, when I had an old Xbox One. I remember playing this game a lot. It was Star Wars: Knights of the Old Republic, and I was really excited to see that it came out for the iOS.
Okay, so Emil, I just took a look at Baldur's Gate Enhanced Edition for iOS, and it's $10.
Yeah, well, to me, it's nostalgic gaming. I remember I played that game for hours on the PC.
It must have been a lot more expensive on a PC, huh?
Oh, it was a $50 game.
Yeah, I see. That's amazing that they can do it for $10.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I find it interesting that you bought it. Well, I guess if I had to guess, I would say you knew the value for you because you enjoyed it so much in the past, and $10 was worth it for you.
Yeah, totally.
Versus, a lot of times, a lot of us hesitated even a 99-cent game. Whoa, I hear, rattling in the background.
Sorry. My family's, getting ready for bed.
Okay. No problem.
That's all.
But in any case, $10. Wow. And what about the other games that you've been looking at? Are they all similarly priced?
Some of them, they're, of course, a little more. They are a little more expensive, but... I consider under $10 a good game, a good price, especially for something, I remember when it came out was $50, but the fact that it's an old PC game, it's funny. These are games I'd still play on my PC if I had room for them, but also I find it very fascinating. I remember in college playing games like these. And we all had to have somebody or one guy on the floor who had the most souped up computer was the only one who could run it. Even that's a little older. But even when I had these, it was just you had to have a really good PC. And now I'm playing it on my iPad.
Can you play it on an iPad 1, or you have to have something faster?
I don't know. I think an iPad 2 is the minimal for these type of games now. But I've been looking at I'm following. All the game development now. I've been watching Unity step up, and now Squaresoft and a lot of other the game developers now. Some of the games they're putting out are the graphics now are getting they predicted mobile gaming was going to be probably PlayStation 2 level coming near as soon as they start as soon as more people start learning how to develop, it's probably going to be near PlayStation 3 level, running certain types of games.
And does your iPad get really hot when you play the game, though?
No, not really. My iPad 2, the iPad 2, I thought, I heard the iPad 3 is running a little hot. My iPad 2 is still, but I have a pretty good stand for it. So when I play one of those games, I'm usually sitting up and it's on a stand that kind of keeps it up in the air. So I'm barely touching it.
Yeah, I think the original iPad is as great as it was in 2010 is a bit underpowered. I think I remember Plants vs. Zombies in the pool level, where you have a whole bunch of things going on at once, it really drags on a bit. So it's not too surprising. The iPad one, or the original iPad, not up to 2013 gaming, I'm afraid. On the other hand, like Emil said, iPad 2, which is only a year newer, still seems to do pretty well. I can't think of anything that really doesn't run pretty well on it for me. And even the iPad Mini, which is not much faster than iPad 2, certainly not as fast as the iPad 3 or 4. I haven't had any problems gaming on it.
Yeah, and most of the
that's amazing.
Yeah, a lot of the game development platforms, the cutoff is iPad 2.
Mm-hmm. And
you would think they'd be able to make them cheaper then.
And this is just a theory. No idea if this has any basis in electrical engineering, but my theory is that because the iPad Mini is not a Retina display, it doesn't have to pump out as much graphics, during gameplay, and so it allows it to run a little faster and cooler.
Oh, you think that's the reason?
Well, I don't know. I'm just guessing. I haven't actually looked at it, but if I had to guess, that's my guess.
That seems reasonable to me.
So yeah, I think I've said this before, but I have absolutely no desire to buy a newer full-size iPad. A, because I feel like they're too big now. But B, because my iPad 2 is running pretty well. I don't have anything on it that doesn't run well. And my iPad Mini, which is, like I said, not much faster, again, no problems running all the things I need.
Yeah, the iPad 2 is doing me fine so far.
That kind of goes back to some of our podcasts from before.
Things are good enough.
Good enough.
Yeah,
it's good enough.
Yeah, exactly. And in fact, as I was mentioning to you before we started the podcast, my daughter just went off to college, and I inherited, so to speak, her old 4-year-old MacBook Pro, which I'm using to record this podcast on right now, and it's good enough for what I need it for, running Audio Hijack Pro to record the Skype call and all that kind of good stuff. No problem so far.
Yeah, I think for me, as long as I can still use my daughter's iPod Touch, because I don't play games that often anymore. But when I want to play a game is if she's playing with her, using her phone and she's not using her iPod Touch. I don't really have an incentive to get it because of a game, Like I want to play a game on my iPad. Yeah. It's not important to me.
Yeah, that's interesting because I rarely play games on the iPhone. I think the exception might be Boggle when I'm sort of sitting in a, sitting around waiting for something like an airport or something. But if I'm going to play a game, and it's usually either Plants vs. Zombies or Civilization Revolution, I'm going to play it on the iPad. It's just no fun playing those particular games. Or not as much fun on the iPhone.
On your Mini or your iPad 2?
iPad Mini.
Oh, so you don't even want the really, really big screen?
No, I mean, it's okay. I don't mind playing games on the big screen, but at least for those two particular games, the iPad Mini is just fine. In fact, I would say that the only thing where, for me, and this is unique, the only app that really makes a difference on a full-size iPad is something like Comixology's comic book reading app.
I would agree. I tried reading a comic on my iPhone 4.
One panel at a time, right?
Oh, it's just awful. You gotta read a comic on an iPad size.
Right. And even then, you really can't see full page. It's still not big enough.
Let me mention a new game I was trying out. Square Enix. It's called Masquerade. It's a vampire role-playing game. And the one reason I actually got it, and I'm not really into vampires, But I saw it has a very interesting feature. You can take a picture of your face and put it on the main character.
No way.
I like it.
I thought that feature, and it's kind of neat, although the, you know, the hero archetype body doesn't actually fit my short and squat body. But I still think the feature is incredible.
This is on your iPad, Emil?
Yeah. Yeah, it's called it's called like Blood Masquerade or something like that, or it's, let me look it up real quick. I actually made a CG face and put it on my character since my short and squat face didn't actually work.
That's really cool.
It's called Blood Mask. Mask spelled MASQUE.
Oh,
Blood Mask.
Is it good? Do you like the game?
One word, right?
I've just been spending time just putting different faces on it to see how it works. I haven't really played the game yet. I've just been messing around with the whole face feature just because I thought it was really neat.
Talk about including you in the game.
Yeah.
No, that'd be great. Is it multiplayer?
No, I think it's so far. I think it's just a single player. You know, like typical Final Fantasy, like SquareSoft RPG. But the graphics are top notch. I mean, the graphics are definitely PlayStation, late PlayStation 2, early PlayStation 3 level. All real, you know, a lot of real shading, a lot of much better than some of the earlier iOS games.
Let me ask you this, Emil. Mm-hmm. When you play these games on your iPad, does it your power drain quicker?
Yes.
Okay.
Noticeably.
Yeah, I think that's true for any, even non-graphically intensive games, or not like a racing game, but something even like Plants vs. Zombies or Civilization Revolution, you know, which are turn-based games. The battery will drain faster, so it may not last for, say, a 5-hour trip from Hawaii to the mainland. Of course, you can't have your device on all that time anyway, so
yeah.
You know,
but that's going to change.
Okay.
That's right. Change. They're talking about changing that.
Yeah. They did, like, someone did a bunch of testing. I heard it on, like, NPR or something.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. That they're trying to get it so that you can use your device.
Yeah, I saw that too, but I think it's probably going to be a while. And even then, you know, you still got to put your stuff away when you eat and things like that. Of course, most flights don't serve food anymore, so
yeah.
Maybe that's not a good argument either.
Well, you know what they use to test it, to pretend, like, to mimic human beings?
What's that?
Potatoes. They use potatoes.
To mimic what? Like
they didn't get like a whole bunch of people and put them in a plane.
Oh, gotcha. To simulate the mass of a person.
Yeah, and I guess how the signal, mm-hmm. you know, these Wi-Fi signals would work inside a plane.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess how like our bodies absorb or block the signals or whatever.
Right.
You just got, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pounds of potatoes.
Probably the right water content or water density.
Probably.
Oh. And instead of the airplane seats, they put them on a couch, didn't they?
I don't know, but that would have been perfect if someone did that.
Hey, by the way, you know, amongst the old games, I think you mentioned was Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. And that thing is $10 too. So if you're really into old games, you're going to be spending quite a few dollars on iPad.
Well, I know they know that. You know, just because it's a lot of nostalgic gamers like myself, I remember paying over $50 for that game when it came out on the Xbox. So, you know, I see it as $10. I don't see that as bad of a purchase. Here's a good one. I think it's XCOM. XCOM just came out like last year for the PC, and now it's out on the iOS, but it's like $20.
Wow.
It's called so XCOM.
XCOM.
Enemy Unknown.
Yeah. And so that's really interesting now that, you know, well, it, I mean, shorter is the time span, but, you know, that it's supposedly the full PC version. And it was a game that was just released like last year.
How much was it on the PC?
I want to say it was probably around $50, $50 or $60. I never played it on the PC. I just remember seeing that it was out because I played some of the earlier like the last XCOM game I played was, oh my God, that was like, I want to say that was, you know, in early 2000s. And then they just came out. This one was long awaited. And I just remember it came out last year, and I just never got a chance to play it. Now it's on iOS, and then it was only last year that it was released PC-wise.
Wow. And it is $19.99. It's $20. Wow.
But, you know, that's going to be the future, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, people, they're going to make better games, and, you know, all those people who want stuff for free and really, really cheap, and,
well, now,
you know, there's a market for that, but if the game industry is going to survive and make, you know, decent money, they're going to have to go, they're going to start charging more for it.
So Emil, when you look at these $5, $10, and $20 games for the iPad, how do they compare to the original? I mean, are they identical in terms of the levels and all that? You know, with obviously differences for touch versus keyboard, but do you feel like it's the same game except designed for touch, or is it something else?
For the most part, you know, the gaming experience of having a gamepad in your hand is still considered the premier. But some things like for RPGs, touch works pretty good because RPGs never worked good with a game stick.
You
know? Or with a game controller. So, like, Baldur's Gate works better. And I'm not much of, you know, and someone who's furiously mouse clicking, I'm actually getting carpal tunnel now from all, you know, from all the mouse work I do. So I've switched to a graphics tablet for a lot of things just because it's easier on my hand. So doing the touch on an iOS device is pretty good. It's pretty great as long as they configure it for it. And I haven't found any of those games that are priced that high where they haven't really thought the interface through.
Hmm.
So everything seems to work all right.
Hmm.
And well, so if you're paying that money, it should.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So you sound like a pretty happy camper with these expensive games. Yeah,
all of these are actually from, you know, they're from developers. So you know, it's they're not indie games. So a lot of them they're first efforts. If you think about it economical wise, for a game like Star Wars was a LucasArts game. You know, why they don't have to do any programming? They really don't have to do much other than report it and make sure the interface is good.
Huh.
And that's the first foray into getting into mobile gaming, and then they'll future to develop new stuff.
Anyway, there's no LucasArts anymore, right? Didn't they close them down?
I think they broke them up or they did something with them. There's still going to be games developed, but it's not going to be specifically LucasArts anymore. I think they're basically farming it out and hiring other companies is what I think they said.
Yeah, that's why I thought Disney like got rid of LucasArts as a company that makes its own games.
Yeah, but there'll be other people carrying on the licenses.
Yeah, Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic are, I'm not even sure I can pronounce it, by Aspyr Media, Aspyr.
Aspyr, yeah.
Okay.
Aspyr.
So, yeah, definitely a license transfer to somebody else. Oh, they're a mech developer. Thought they sounded familiar. Oh, Bioshock Infinite.
Yeah.
They did Bioshock?
It says coming soon.
Oh.
Oh, of course. That's what I heard of them. Civilization.
Yeah.
Okay. Call of Duty Black Ops. Interesting.
So what are they? Are they guys is this a kind of group that just ports PC games or console games to mobile devices? Is
that what they do? And the Mac.
Yeah, you're gonna see a lot more of the larger developers. I mean, because one, it's a target audience, it's a target market now. More people are buying tablets, so are buying rather than buying the new Xbox One or the new PS4. There's going to be more people who own tablets than those devices.
Yeah, and you know, when you think about it, if you're going to spend what's the Xbox One going to be, like $499 or something?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I mean, wow. Right? I mean, for $499, you can buy a pretty nice iPad.
Yeah,
or maybe not top of the line, but you know, 32 gigs, enough to run games, and it's portable.
Uh-huh.
Right, and you can buy. You don't have to spend $50 per game. Or I guess online you can get $5 games and things like that for the Xbox now. But it's still not quite the same.
And here's another aspect of gaming that was kind of let loose on it at this year's E3, is that mobile devices are going to take on new roles in games. So, for example, one of the new Call of Duties, I think it is, or the new Battlefields, you'll have your traditional first-person shooter, but then somebody can be the overall role, almost the RTS commander, commanding all live forces and directing them on the iPad.
Wow.
So, wait, like, this is like multiplayer you're talking?
Yeah. So you'll have people fighting multiplayer, but then you'll have somebody commanding the battlefield on an iPad that's a different game. It's basically, but when they give orders, they're giving them to real people who are playing multiplayer.
kind of like Ender's Game.
Yeah, and the funny thing is you know, this is what the military's been going for, and you know, when I left, they were still working on it. So I'm hoping they've gotten further by now. But it's so in the future when you're playing your console game or your PC game, you'll have what's called the additional content or additional gameplay on your mobile device.
Huh.
Good stuff.
Oh, kind of like a Wii U.
Yeah.
Where it has that pad, that video, like a little iPad.
Yeah.
As a game controller.
Yeah, that's what they're seeing a lot of. And even just like stats. Say you're playing a game, and why have all that stuff littering the screen on your main TV or monitor? Have it on your iPad.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the iPad's going to be a lot, or, you know, your mobile devices is going to be a lot more integrated to, you know, everything you do.
Hmm. Very nice. Very nice. Okay, well, this has been a lot of fun. I think we got through a whole list of stuff. I was especially fascinated by Emil's retro games and their cost, and more importantly, that you find real value in spending more than 99 cents. Not to say that I haven't, you know. I think, like I said, I paid $7.99 for the original Plants vs. Zombies, or $4.99. But anyway, it was more than a couple of bucks, more than a dollar or two. And I never looked back on it. And in fact, I should note, I paid for Civilization Revolution, you know, something like $8. So, and then I bought a add-on pack for another $3 or $4 or $5. So,
it gets up there.
But, you know, it's the only Civilization Revolution is the only game I've only bought an add-in for.
Well, you know, my brother was playing, there's some Simpsons RTS. My brother was just spending a lot of money on the add-on.
I have heard stories about that game, and I've stayed away from it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not because it's bad, but because it's bad for me.
Yeah, it's addicting.
Okay, so I'm gonna wrap this one up. This has been a fun podcast for me. This was Mobile Views Podcast number 64. I'm Todd Ogasawar, my friends Jay Stone, Emil Reyes, and we had a good time tonight talking about games for originally it's mobile devices, but then we ended up talking about all iOS games. So it's most of these games, I shouldn't say most of these games. Emil's games may not be available for Android, but the other games are available for Android, with the exception of the new Plants vs. Zombies, which is iOS only. We'll talk to you later.